Because as a schoolboy, I was in the little town of Gettysburg in Pennsylvania some 75 years ago. I am privileged to tell you today what I then heard and saw when Abraham Lincoln, the wartime President of the United States, delivered his immortal address at the dedication of the National Cemetery, an event that will live in the hearts of men so long as brotherly love, forgiveness, faith, and compassion shall endure. Gettysburg was then a quiet, orderly borough of about 3,000 people, typically Pennsylvanian, thrifty, loyal, law-abiding, and home-loving. One July morning, without any warning, their tranquil village was made the center of one of the fiercest conflicts of internecine warfare that modern world has ever known. It was the decisive battle of the Civil War, the North against the South, brother against brother, each fighting for what he believed was right in the sight of God and man. The fertile hills and meadows round about and the shaded streets of the town itself were for 3 days the scene of the conflict which surged back and forth where the defending armies of the North and the invading hosts of the South battled and struggled for victory. At the close of the third day's battle, the Confederate army retreated to the South, leaving the countryside strewn with dead and wounded. The loss on both sides was known to be upwards of 50,000. In childhood, the word Gettysburg, some 40 miles away. Family romance clustered around the name, for my mother was born, raised, and married in Gettysburg, and it was there she met my father, who was then a student of Pennsylvania College, now the oldest Lutheran college in the United States, established in Gettysburg in 1832. As a boy, my summer vacations were spent there, and in July 1863, shortly after the battle, I wandered over the battlefield with two other lads, gathering gruesome mementos of the fearful when it was known that on a certain day in November, 4 months after the battle, that President Lincoln, Old Abe as we boys affectionately called him, was to be in Gettysburg, I was excused from my duties at school and accompanied my family, at least to see the President and perhaps to hear what he had to say. My uncle lived several miles from the town, and on the second day of the battle, his house was struck by an enemy shell which passed through the living room and lodged unexploded in the wall. In the succeeding years, boy-like, I pointed it out to my companions with an air of superiority, and for all I know, the shell is still to be seen in the wall of the house. On one day during the battle, my uncle's home was the headquarters of the Confederate General Ewell. And when he took possession of it, my aunt seized her youngest child and on her own horse rode down to her mother's home a mile away through the midst of the advancing battalions. The sight of an unprotected woman riding serenely in the dusk of an early evening with a little child in her arms in the midst of the crowd of boisterous soldiers was so startling and incongruous that as she passed, one of the veterans shouted, "Good Lord, boys, she's carrying a baby." Next morning, she remembered that she'd forgotten to bring the family Bible, the most treasured possession of her household, so she fearlessly went back alone. On the floor of the living room, she found General Ewell stretched out, sound asleep, with his head on the Bible as a pillow. Without a moment's hesitation, she snatched the Bible from under the general's head and made her escape down the road unpursued and reached her father's home in safety without annoyance from the advancing enemy. An evidence of Southern chivalry shown to an unprotected woman even in the heat of civil war. On my uncle's farm, there was a small pond fed by springs in which we boys learned to swim. Sometime after the battle, while exploring the bottom of the pond, we found a number of muskets and other equipment that were thrown away by the retreating army when hard pressed. As we figured it out, The retreating soldier, in throwing his musket into the pond, made it count two ways. It was kept from falling into the hands of the enemy, and he could run harder and faster without his heavy gun and ammunition. As the town itself changed hands several times during the 3 days' battle, bullet holes may still be seen where street fighting took place. During one such encounter, two young soldiers, hotly pursued, rushed into